Triple M footies.
He wants the switch.
Trade Tracker.
That's right, it's the Triple M Trade Tracker. We're tracking trades this year in what's going to be a bumper edition of the footy trade period. My name's Rudy Etzel. I've got the Hot Breakfast Chief Footy Reporter on the line, Tommy Brown. Good morning, Tommy. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, Rudy. It's been a little bit quiet this week from a trade perspective, but I think it's really going to ramp up now in the next few days leading into the period next Wednesday, and there's lots to discuss this morning.
Yes, indeed. Let's kick off with Jesse Hogan. What's news with Jesse at Freo, mate?
Well, it appears to me as if there's some genuine interest in Hogan that's been intensifying from clubs this week. I know Richmond has been mentioned in some articles, and I've heard also being interested in Hogan. But it's my understanding this morning, which is Thursday morning, that the Giants now lead the race for Hogan. Now, I've put that to a few people, and I think there's a bit in that. So just keep an eye on that. Obviously, he's on big money at Fremantle, I think up to, you know, a significant amount of money. So whoever takes him would have to pay the bulk of that, obviously, and then Fremantle presumably would have to pay a bit of money. But I think there's significant upside with Hogan. You know, we saw later in the season when he was playing good footy and Fremantle gave him a good opportunity. I think the view is that he could benefit a few sides.
Yeah, I agree. It's an interesting fall away from Hogan after they traded him in a couple of years ago. Speaking of tall forwards, let's go to Essendon. Big Joey Danaher, what's the news there?
So Essendon's waiting on the compensation for Danaher, which the AFL will tell them tomorrow, and they'll then decide whether they match the offer and go into like a trading type process. It looks to me as if the compensation will be sufficient. I think Jay Clark's quoted $700,000 this morning as the guaranteed component of Danaher's proposed deal at Brisbane. And the idea is that would get you a early first-round pick, which is what Essendon kind of would have got last year. Now, a lot of people reckon they would have got two first-round picks off Sydney last year, a current and a future one. That's debatable. But I think if Essendon could get a first-round pick for Danaher, they'd be happy, and that would satisfy the Bombers. The only caveat I'd add to that is that the compensation formula is complicated. Basically, the crux of it is the AFL ranked the 300 contracts of the players in the competition above the age of 25. And if you contract in terms of the amount, and they take into account the length and the age, falls within the top 5% of that, then you get an early first-round pick. The next 10%, you'd get a pick late in the first round. So there's no guarantee it'll be an early first-round pick. It could be a pick later in the first round. So the question really is whether Danaher's contract is $700,000 a year. And he is, I think, 25 or 26, Danaher. So he'd get almost the maximum points in terms of age that applies to the formula. The question is whether that falls within the top 5% or then would fall in those 300 ranked players in the next 10%. So we'll find out tomorrow.
Right. That's very interesting, that. And Essendon will be hoping for that early round pick so they can get pick seven. So there's a couple of other things going on with the Dons there, isn't there? So let's go with Orazio Fantasia or Fantasia. He wants to go back to South Australia.
Yeah, this has been on the cards for a while. I mean, that almost happened last year. He's had some persistent injuries this year. I reported an interesting one in about July or August. He joined the waiting list for the Royal Adelaide Golf Club. He's been desperate to get back there. Essendon have admitted that for a couple of months, and I expect that he'd get back there. There shouldn't be any problems with that happening. That's not a shock per se. Everyone sort of knew that. And it's importantly for Essendon now, crunch time in terms of this Dunkley situation. I reported early last week they were interested in Dunkley. Everyone sort of laughed at me. Now everyone's talking about it. You know, what's happening there basically is that Dunkley wants to go to Essendon. I think he's told Luke Beveridge at least twice in some Zoom calls or conversations they've had that he wants to go to Essendon. But the question is whether the Bulldogs are going to blink. Now, obviously the Bulldogs will go back to him this weekend or he'll go back to them. And if he really, really, really insists that he wants to go to Essendon, I guess they'll be able to determine how serious he is. It's one thing raising these things with your employer or your club. It's another thing actually following through with it. And he's going to get a sense of how much he wants to go there. The Bulldogs have been very public so far, certainly earlier this week, that they won't trade him. Having said that, if the Bulldogs got a first-round pick for him, maybe they could go and try and make an offer to Treloar. Now, I don't think Treloar wants to play outside Collingwood, and I think the idea would be to go to Queensland, given his wife is going to play netball in Queensland. But a first-round pick would open up options for the Dogs. And there is a view among some Dogs fans, they have a few of Dunkley's type. So I think there's a lot to play out there.
Yeah, that's a real interesting one. A bit of a left field one, really. Also, just some breaking news here. It's Port Adelaide's head of football, Chris Davies, has said that he believes that the power is Orazio Fantasia's club of choice if he is to leave Essendon. That one, we'll have to watch how that one plays out. We want to discuss Melbourne as well, Tommy. Ben Brown, you think that they're hot on the chase of Big Ben Brown?
I think they're really the only club that's really put something sort of semi-formal to Brown. Other clubs are keeping tabs on Brown, but Melbourne are the most keen. It would, I think, depend on getting Tom McDonald out of the club. So there's been some talk about McDonald going to the Giants or somewhere else. But Melbourne is keen definitely on Brown. They're also interested in Isaac Smith. But I think Smith's preference at the moment would be to stay at Hawthorn or perhaps go to Geelong. I think he's open to going to Melbourne, but I think they're probably third in the race for Smith.
Okay, right. That's an interesting one. Another wait and see on Isaac Smith there. And Tom McDonald, you said possibly the Giants.
Yeah, possibly the Giants. So the only question there is why the Giants would want McDonald and Hogan, but I guess you could play McDonald definitely as a defender, so they're not mutually exclusive.
True. Jeremy Cameron's next on our list here. This is a really fascinating push and pull, this one. The Giants have said that they will match any Geelong trade and any Geelong offer for his restricted free agency and force a trade. What's it look like it's going to take the Cats to get this over the line?
Well, my information this morning is there's not a lot of dialogue between the Giants and Geelong on this. In fact, I don't think there's been any formal dialogue yet. So I think the Giants are digging in their heels, whether that's a mature position or not. I mean, you can debate that. The Giants have been pretty clear. They wanted Parfitt, or they want a good player and obviously a first-round pick because Jeremy's such a good player. It's going to be really interesting to see how this plays out. I don't think Parfitt appears to be on the table, as far as I can tell. So I think there's a bit of a stalemate there essentially at the moment. It'll get done. It's just a matter of how it gets done in the end. Cameron's been pretty clear that he wants to go there, but the Giants want a good player in return. So it's going to be hard. It's going to be interesting to see what happens there, put it that way.
And another player that looks like he wants to get to Geelong is Sean Higgins. Any news on that one, Tommy?
Yeah, my information this morning is that will happen. Now, there's obviously a bit to play out there in terms of how it will happen, but I think it will happen. And it's interesting in the context that Geelong seem to be also in the race for Isaac Smith. So they could end up with Higgins, Smith and Jeremy Cameron, which is, I think, would be an interesting trade period for them. They'll obviously need a couple of players to retire or leave. Narkle's been mentioned, obviously. Cockatoo has been mentioned. Harry Taylor's weighing up his future. I would have thought he'd retire, but stranger things have happened. And it sounds like Lockie Henderson wants to play on.
All right, so it's a very fascinating trade period for the Cats then after losing a grand final. They could seriously reload straight away. Probably one of the biggest stories of the trade period is Adam Treloar. What's happening there, Tom?
Rudy, there's two ways of looking at this. I just want to emphasise at the start that I've spoken to Treloar's manager, Tim Hazel, but they're not officially commenting and neither is Collingwood. But the version of events that I think Collingwood would have you believe, and I'll present both sides of the story, is that Treloar's wife, Kim, and their baby will go to Queensland to play netball for at least 10 months. And that could be longer. Obviously, you know, that could be up to 2 years or beyond. So in light of that, I think the Suns went to Collingwood and put a proposal to Collingwood. And that's where apparently this all started. Now, keeping in mind, of course, there were discussions last year about Treloar going to the Suns. Collingwood's obviously concerned about him performing and about his ability to function with his wife away for that period of time. Now, you can debate the merits of their concern. I know there's been debate about that this week. But obviously they're worried that if someone's wife's away for 10 months plus, it's difficult to perform. That could contribute to injuries. He might have to take leave. There's all sorts of issues associated with that. And they've got concerns about that, particularly, I think, in light of the amount of money they're paying him. They're paying him up to $900,000 a year until the end of 2025. So Collingwood, I think, are saying, well, if we can get a deal that's actually better for you, Adam, where you want, and I think they think that he wants to stay in Queensland long-term post-football. So if we can get you the same deal as you've got at Collingwood, living near your wife and your child, and you get the same term, and you want to live in Queensland, that's a better deal for you. And I think Collingwood, to be frank, would like the pick five or pick six or whatever the Suns could give them. They might get another player, and they would obviously, it'd be a good deal for Collingwood because they clear some of Treloar's money. That's Collingwood's, I think, version of events. And I emphasise that's me joining the dots, okay?
Yep.
The alternative view is that Collingwood has an unusual situation where Treloar is a bit injury prone with his groins and his hamstrings. And for some reason, Collingwood, whether it was a back-ended deal or not, have got Treloar signed up until the end of 2025 and up to $900,000 a season, and this is an old-fashioned salary cap dump. Now, maybe the truth is in the middle, but they're the two version of events sort of going around at the moment. So you can make up your own mind as to what they're doing, but we have limited information. I'd like to emphasise that. And the other part of all this, of course, is that Treloar's got self-documented, I wouldn't say mental health concerns, but mental health issues that he's confronted in the past. And I can't, I'm no expert in mental health, but none of this could be assisting him at the moment. I mean, this is just it's become a bit of a mess, to be frank with you. So, and the other part of this is that he does not want to leave Collingwood. He said that repeatedly and told Collingwood that repeatedly in recent weeks. So maybe the upshot of all this is that he'll stay. But I think Collingwood, and they're not on record as saying it, but I think it's factual, have serious concerns about his ability to function and perform without his wife, which I guess seem well-founded. I mean, I know, you know, I'm married. I wouldn't like to be away from my wife for more than a couple of weeks. This is 10 months, you know. So there's some pretty big complex issues in all this.
Yeah, it's plenty to play out. Very sensitive stuff. And, yeah, hopefully it works out for the best for all concerned. You also wanted to, on the subject of Collingwood, you wanted to bring up Mason Cox.
Yeah, I think the Bulldogs inquired on Cox a few weeks ago. I think Collingwood would be open to trading Cox simply because I think he's got a back-ended contract that had some triggers where next year he'll earn up to $600,000. And as much as I love Mason Cox, that's a lot of money for Mason Cox. So, again, it's going to raise little issues and questions in regards to Collingwood's list management. I'm not criticising them, but it does seem, again, like another one of these sort of strange deals that Collingwood's done, to be perfectly frank. But so I think Collingwood's open to trading him. They don't want to trade him. There's no problems there. He's very much a required player. The Bulldogs made some inquiries, but I don't think there's been any follow-up on that. So I'd expect Cox at this stage to stay at Collingwood, but stranger things have happened.
And finally, before we finish up for the morning, Jack Higgins, sounds like St Kilda leads the race for him.
I mentioned this Monday morning on the hot breakfast, or Tuesday morning on the hot breakfast, mate, and Rudy, and I think that Jack just wants to play, basically. Richmond love him. There's no issues there. He's got a year run on his contract. But obviously, he's had these brain bleed issues. I don't think he's going to have, like, a career until he's 35. So he wants to get in some footy. He's missed out on two flags now. So he just wants to play some football. And I suspect St Kilda's fairly advanced in those discussions. So I wouldn't be at all surprised if he ends up at St Kilda.
All right, good. I think that's pretty much done for us there, Tommy. Thanks for letting me take up half an hour of your time on this wonderful Thursday morning. What have you got on? You're going to go enjoy the sunshine in a newly reopened Melbourne?
My wife and I are landing to see our parents in Sydney today, coming back from Queensland. Oh. And then I'll be back in Melbourne on Sunday for the trade period. My wife is pregnant, so we've had 3 days R and rest, which is a bit rare for me, Rudy. I'm not very good by the pool. I'm usually making trade calls, and it's no phones allowed at this resort. So I've been off in the bushes making trade calls.
Oh, wouldn't have you any other
way,
Tommy.
I'm not even joking.
I didn't for a second think you were, mate. Thanks heaps for this morning, Tommy. We'll speak to you again during trade period.
Triple M Footies.
He wants the switch.
Trade Tracker.